This episode of Current Geek is brought to you by B&H Photo, the professional source for photo, video, and audio equipment, and so much more. B&H Photo is the smart way to shop with low prices, top-notch customer service, fast shipping, and no sales tax in 48 states. To learn more and check out special deals for our listeners, visit bhphoto.com/frogpants.
I have
Current Geek!
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Current Geek, the weekly proceedings of the meetings of Frog Pants All Stars, geeks of the world, and you to keep it current on all things that matter most. I'm Scott Johnson with Darth Thomas.
I'm not a Darth. I am not a master. I'm just a guy. Just a guy trying to make his way in the Force, Scott.
Yeah,
That's all I am.
You be you, Tom. You be.
It was nice to Force time you today.
Yeah, it was really good to Force time you as well. I now get the joke you were trying to make
without
spoiling me. Yeah, now I get it. And the funny thing is, it wasn't a spoiler at all to tell me what you told me. But once I saw it, I went, oh, and I leaned over to Kim. I go, that's what Tom was talking about. And she's like, could you please? I'm trying to watch a movie here.
Anyway. No, but seriously.
I want to make something real clear right up front before we jump to our guests. And that is, yes, it's Star Wars Day. Officially last night, there was the premiere here in the States. We will not be spoiling anything. We won't talk about stories or character lines or any of that stuff.
We will be spoiling our emotions if you still don't even want to know that. I know some people didn't.
We will
be talking about our feelings.
We will say
if we
liked
deep
it.
Inside our hearts, but we won't spoil plot details.
No, not at all. We'll say if we liked it, if we didn't like it, that sort of thing. But we'll not get into details. And the reason we don't need to do any of that is because this weekend, Tom, there's two things happening. Tom has on Sunday his Let's Talk About Star Wars show, where he and their usual co-hosts and possible guests are all going to be spoiling the hell out of it. And I'm going to be doing something similar sometime this weekend. I don't know when. We're trying to figure it out with Brian Ibbett as a TMS supplementary episode.
Spoiler in time for the Cord Killers crowd.
Exactly. So everybody everywhere will be doing this. You'll get plenty of spoilers. Current Geek is not that place. Many of you have not seen this yet. We respect that. And we want you to have fun on your own time there. So don't worry. All right. Let's bring in our guests. We have with us a returning body of work. I don't know why I called you that, but welcome back, podcaster and co-host of The Gamers Inn and The Zombies Ate My Podcast Show. It is Ryan Murphy, everyone. Hi, Ryan.
Hello. Thank you for having me back. I have not seen Star Wars yet, so I appreciate the non-spoilery episode. I'm sure the chat appreciates it, but I guess I'll have to sacrifice myself waiting to hear your emotions on the film. I guess I'll hear that.
Well, sure. And Ryan, you, the part of Canada you're in, you guys are just getting like Temple of Doom and unleaded gas now, right? Isn't that what's going on?
Oh, I thought you were referencing the snowstorm, which it is snowing right now. I'm going, movies at the same time.
Okay.
They play in the same type of theaters, except maybe the popcorn's a little smaller.
Okay.
Just a little bit smaller.
All right.
Yeah. It's metric popcorn.
Right. I was going to say, it's not the King's popcorn. It's some kind of...
No, it's the Prime Minister's, but it's just a little smaller.
Space credits. I know how it works.
Teresa may have smaller popcorn.
That's how they get you.
UK's Prime Minister, not Canada's. Yeah, I know. It just made a better joke.
It's
okay?
Fine. It's totally fine. Trudeau doesn't care. He'll smile at you and just wear Star Wars socks. Also,
Trudeau
with us,
smaller popcorn. There you go. Fine.
Also with us, somebody I don't know why we haven't had him on before. It's James Bartholomew, not only a stalwart member of the Frog Pants community, but a community manager for Focus Home Interactive, all the way from France, although he's from the UK originally. Hello. Welcome to the show, James.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. It's really good to be here.
Yeah, it's awesome to have you. James was a frequent face at the Nerdtacular events, showed up in most recently in 2015. It was great to see you then. It is good to see you again, and stoked to have you guys on, being a part of today's festivities. But Tom, we should probably start it off the way we do in the traditional way, which is playing these headlines.
Herbert Hoover, Secretary of Commerce in 1922, finds infant radio facilitates news gathering, as do many others in high public office.
Surely some things happened since we last spoke.
Oh, sure. Rian Johnson's new film in the tradition of Brothers Bloom and Looper is out. This one's called Star Wars The Last Jedi. Hmm. And as we mentioned, we aren't going to spoil anything about it, but at least the three of us who've seen it can give our sort of emotions on it. And it seems to, just in general, if you look at Rotten Tomatoes, you look at like the general feelings, you look at Justin Robert Young's Twitter feed, people are fairly positive about it.
Yeah, it seems to be up. Speaking of Rotten Tomatoes, we're currently at a healthy 93% approval rating.
It's certified fresh.
Yeah, that is, and it's well fresh, like 30% into the fresh.
My wife works for Rotten Tomatoes. There you go.
Thank you. I was about to sue, but then you fixed it, and now I can't be as litigious as I had planned. It is, I'll just say this, and then we'll toss it over to James, who's also seen it. I thought it was great, and it is a worthy follow-up to the last film in the main trilogy. Sets up some really interesting stuff for the third, and overall, my feeling was they gave me what I wanted in a Star Wars sequel slash movie. I think there's some really, weirdly, some strong performances in there. There's also some cheesy stuff, but it's fine. It's Star Wars. You're supposed to have a little bit of that. But I don't know. I feel like Disney and those guys are doing it right. Rian Johnson's script and directing is strong here. And I really liked it. I'm stoked to see it again. I'm going to see it again on Christmas Day. That'll give me a chance to sort of digest what I did see and then kind of go back and see stuff maybe I missed. But I think people are in for a good time. James, did you enjoy the film?
Yeah, I absolutely loved it. So let me preface this by saying I didn't like The Force Awakens was okay.
Mm.
And I've said before that I think Rogue One is possibly the weakest Star Wars film for me. Mm. So I went into Last Jedi thinking like quite worried. And I left thinking it's maybe my favorite Star Wars film, probably my second favorite.
Yeah. We were talking prior to the show that we all still sort of land on Empire probably.
Yeah.
As the slight winner here. But yeah, like this is in the grand tradition of the better Star Warses, and
yeah.
It feels real good.
It does. Yeah.
Tom, you've had the most time since you've seen it. You saw it a little bit early. And now that you've had some time to let it wash over you, you still feeling strong?
Well, I saw it last night for the second time.
Oh, geez. All right.
Yeah. I've seen it twice now. I was lucky enough to get into a preview on Monday and I couldn't mention a word about it. And then I saw it again last night. It was really fun seeing it instead of in a crowd of press people, in a crowd of fans. And it was interesting the different reactions that you get in those crowds. But either way, I loved it. Thought it was amazing. I enjoyed it from beginning to end. I like the humor in it. I like the subversion in it. I won't say more than that. Mm-hmm. But you know, some expectations are fulfilled and some aren't. And I like the way that was handled. Mm-hmm. I really think, you know, there are some things to pick on with it. Things related to particular scenes that are weird and feel out of place and unnecessary. They're not the majority, though. They're quite the minority. If anything, I would say maybe the biggest achievement is when you step back from it, you'll realize that it's better than its story.
Yeah.
And I think the opposite is true of The Force Awakens, where the story is everything. The lore is everything. Yeah. You have these big moments in Force Awakens. Last Jedi just entertains you every minute that it's on the screen.
Yeah. And also, yeah. I also liked that it felt like it was, how do I put this? It wasn't all the movies up till now with this from 7 forward, I guess the two that we've gotten have been full of fan service, like lots and lots of fan service.
Mm-hmm.
And this movie has its share of fan service, no question. But it doesn't feel like it's on display. It doesn't feel like they're going,
it's more
look.
Deftly done, I feel.
I agree. I totally agree. And I liked that a lot. In fact, that was perhaps my favorite thing tonally about the movie. It just feels like the universe I already know, and they mm-hmm. showed me some new things in it, and they did some artistic stuff toward the end that really blew my mind. It's great. I think it's super cool. So, Ryan, you haven't seen it, but you're stoked, right? Because I know you grew up in a Star Trek-only house, like some kind of heathen, but now you're ready. You want this in your life.
I mean, well, I grew up on a farm. We didn't have TV or much TV, so we didn't really even watch Star Trek. I just remember when we got satellites, like, my mom watched the Star Trek. Interesting. That's good to know. And then Star Wars came out. But to me, like, I feel like I'm not as steeped in Star Wars to be able to rank them or be able to kind of compare them, because I came out of Force Awakens, it's like, that's the best Star Wars I've ever seen, and I'm traveling 3 hours to see it with a good friend of mine who is a Star Wars nut. He loves Star Wars, and I think that's the best way for people like me see it, to see it with someone who just really, really, really loves Star Wars. Because when he came out, I was like, that was really good. And I looked at him, and if he says it's really good, then at least I know that I'm on the right path. But I am looking forward to it. And I'm just hoping that the weather cooperates, because I was unable to see Rogue One with him. Some would say that's fortunate. I don't know. I liked Rogue One. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And Sunday, can't get here soon enough, because, man, people's at replies are just... It's dangerous stuff out there.
Yeah, it really is. And the more people that see it, the more dangerous it gets.
Yeah, I can't swipe on anybody's tweets. I just have to read my timeline and just be comfortable with that.
Yeah, yeah. And every everywhere I've been that's anywhere near a movie theater in the last day and a half, nightmare, traffic nightmares, people piled up on stoplights in a way that they aren't usually, and hanging out in other parts of traffic that should be moving. A couple of wrecks and stuff. Like, I can tell that concentrated around movie theaters, there is definitely no shortage of people going, which means that me and Brian Ibbett will probably win the movie draft. So I'm pretty stoked about all of that.
Oh, that's probably true.
We got our one movie and this was it. So wish us luck.
So talking about people like rushing into theaters and things. So in France, they don't reserve seats when you go into a theater. So getting in to see Star Wars was possibly the like terrible crowd experience I've had in my life.
Yeah,
it was like the first showing in France, no queues, first people there. It was a massive like rush.
The non-registration thing is weird to me. I feel like the rest of the world should get in line. I don't understand why that's not universal now, because I can't imagine. I don't remember what it was like before this. And
I remember seeing Attack of the Clones and having to line up. You had to figure out which line was to buy tickets, because this is before you could buy online, and which line was to get into the theater. And the lines went outside and around the block. And there's a certain amount of fun to that. But man, it was so nice not to have to do that.
Yeah, I totally agree. Well, Star Wars, it's a thing. It's happening. Catch it. If you haven't decided,
catch
already.
Up. If you haven't yet, start with the Phantom Menace and watch all seven, and then go see The Last Jedi.
Would you actually recommend they start there? Is that the current recommendation?
No, people? Absolutely not. Yeah. That is not where I recommend.
Yeah, because I feel like you'll be done with Menace and go, I think I'm good. I don't want.
No, I like the what is it called?
The
Machete Order. Thank you. Yes. Yeah,
I like that.
Disney announced its agreement to acquire most of 20th Century Fox. That includes the movie studios, the regional sports networks, the cable channels, and production arms. A new company called Fox will spin out. Disney will not own the Fox that's left. The Rump Fox, as I just made up calling it, will include the broadcast stations, the national sports, and Fox News. So that will be on its own. Disney gets pretty much everything else. Disney will assume controlling ownership of Hulu as a result of this. Minority stakes in Hulu are owned by Comcast and Time Warner, but Fox owns 30%, Disney owns 30%, so together they'll get 60%. Disney expects the acquisition to take 12 to 18 months to close. As far as this show is concerned, the big news is X-Men, Deadpool, back in the Marvel house now, not licensed out anymore.
Now, here's where I get all jazzed up. What we may end up seeing is a proper... Fantastic Four movie for the first time ever.
Oh, right. Fantastic Four too.
Yeah. And, you know, the future of even the mainline MCU stuff now has the opportunity to start calling people by their real names, which is a mutant and not some other, you know, dumb word they have to make up because they're not able to use the word mutant. They can get Wolverine, probably not Hugh Jackman, but some type of Wolverine dude in a future Avengers film. He was an Avenger for a very long time. Like, all the crossover potential... we might finally be in a place where this is going to happen. You combine this with their deal with Sony, and we get Spider-Man with that deal. It's like everything's coming up Millhouse here. Now, here's the only thing I would say that it irritates me about any of this, and that is that Justin Robert Young had predicted this forever ago with us on TMS. He said it in other places as well. He's always been sort of convinced that this was eventually going to happen, and I'm annoyed that he was right. That's really my only complaint, is that Justin Robert Young got any kind of praise for this or any kind of, you know,
well, between this and the Alabama election, like, he's just going crazy.
Yeah, he's killing it. Well done, Justin, I guess. You guys excited about what this is? I mean, the Simpsons come over. They'll own everything Seth MacFarlane makes, which, you know, give or take, some of that stuff's good. But it's bigger than we think, because there's a whole lot of stuff under that banner that they'll now essentially own.
I'm actually struggling to think of anything that Fox have done that I'm super into. Like, everyone's really excited about Firefly, which I've never really gotten on with. I could see why it'd be cool having Disney with those things, but I'm mostly interested in what they're going to do with, like, how having Hulu is going to affect their new streaming service, and how if they're going to keep doing stuff with Netflix now they've got Hulu, and how it's going to affect, like, the Marvel stuff.
They were going to stop doing things with Netflix anyway because Disney was making its own streaming service. So now they'll be, the Fox studio movies could conceivably go into that streaming service, which would beef it up. My guess, is with Hulu, they'll either start to emphasize the live TV aspect of it, because that's something Disney did not offer, or they'll really push it, and maybe do both of these things, push it as an originals network, as a competitor to Netflix on its own, right? Where they, like, there's Disney over here, there's ESPN for sports over here, and then there's Hulu for, like, great programming. My guess is they'll probably lean towards pushing the live TV with the Hulu originals, like Handmaid's Tale, as an added bonus for wanting to subscribe to it.
Yeah. I think I agree with that. I don't know. I mean, obviously we don't know until they do it, but 18 months, that's not too long to wait.
That's perfect timing for Infinity War Part 2, and then they can start Phase 4 with whatever. Like, when they talked about starting with Spider-Man with the Sony deal, I'm pretty sure the interviews were saying that, like, they started to think about putting Spider-Man in there, and they didn't even have a version where that deal didn't work out, and they were working on that behind the scenes, and obviously they were able to, because it was a partnership, they were able to announce it and then do it, as opposed to this deal, which is going to take time to kind of solidify. So, like, with the 12 to 18 months, like, you could see Phase 4 kind of bringing in a selection of these, or maybe they go straight to streaming. But I'm most excited about Hulu possibly coming to Canada now, because Disney will actually want to take it worldwide. Because it's America only right now, as far as I know. Yeah. It could be elsewhere, but I know it's not here.
No, it's US only, and avowedly so, because it's meant to be the broadcasters. With Fox no longer owning the stake and being a broadcaster, that's going to make that profile less comfortable. So again, I think they go live TV. Now the question is, will they say, well, let's take that Hulu live TV brand to Canada? That would be interesting.
Yeah, I can see that.
Tom, more up here.
The one thing I thought of that, and thanks to James for bringing it up, because I hadn't really even considered this, but this now means they own a lot of IPs that they could do things with or not do anything with. They'd have to choose, but could this be, so here's just prediction time, totally out there shot, long shot, but could this be a way of getting Firefly back? Original cast or not, Firefly as a franchise could come back. You say no.
No. If Firefly was going to come back, this wasn't the thing in its way. There's so many other things in its way. It's not like, I think there's an idea out there that Fox hates Firefly because they canceled it. And it's like, Fox is a guy. He's like grumpy old Fox man. And he's like, no, you're not getting your Firefly. Disney and Fox are businesses. And if the business made sense and they could get Joss Whedon and the cast to do it, they would have done it. They would have cashed in on this. Fox is not dumb.
Yeah.
It just didn't work out. So Disney coming in, I don't think changes that calculus. I could be wrong. Maybe it will. Maybe Disney's got an idea that'll make it work that Fox didn't have. But it's not like Fox didn't want to do it.
Right. Well, just don't ask Justin, because he'll probably know the answer, and then we'll all be mad that he got it right.
I'm wondering if, thinking about the things that they're bringing, I'm wondering, like, how cool it would be if they're announcing Phase 4, right? And it just says Phase 4, and then the 4 shifts into the Fantastic Four logo.
Oh,
and
dude.
And we get ideas.
Oh, that's a great idea. That's perfect. That's exactly what they need to do. If they don't do that, that's stupid. That's money on the table. They should do that.
Yeah. What if they couldn't make the Phase 4 and they went with Phase 5 and they just completely changed? What if Fantastic Four is impossible to make a good movie of?
Yeah, it's just like physically impossible.
I got a theory on that. I don't think so. I think the way that movie needs to be approached, and I'll steal this idea a little bit from Brian Ibbett, because I think he has it right. He has said, and I agree with him, that most of the recent big successes in the Marvel Universe, the Marvel MCU, have been a spy movie with superheroes in it, a 70s action thriller with superheroes in it, an adventure movie with superheroes in it. Like, they're really good at doing that. And this latest Thor is another example of a kind of psychedelic comedy with superheroes in it. And they know how to do that so well that I think that they could take Fantastic Four. And again, I'm stealing this idea from Brian, but take Fantastic Four and put it in a either alternate sort of 1950s, future, the world of tomorrow, today kind of world. It fits really well in there. So you'd have to set up a world that's just a little bit out there, a little bit nuts, but I think they could pull that off in a way that would make the Fantastic Four less like you're trying to jam them into a modern setting or something like that. Like, put them in the place they came from, where they were the most popular, and just really go to town with it, kind of like Captain America did. Guardians embraces its weird world in a way that seems crazy on paper, and then we see it work, and we're like, oh, all right, well, this totally works. I think they could do it. They just have to, you know, they just have to be willing to, and I think they might be. So we'll see. Yep. Hopefully.
All right. Among the many collaborations between DreamWorks and Netflix scheduled for 2018 is a revival of She-Ra, Princess of Power.
Whoa.
Noelle Stevenson, co-creator of Lumberjanes, will be the showrunner. There'll also be more Trolls shows, a Boss Baby show, an adaptation of Captain Underpants. But interesting to see She-Ra come back before He-Man.
Yeah, I didn't expect that. I have a little audio here of this intro. It's a terrible version of this. I got the worst YouTube video possible. But anyway, here's the thing with She-Ra. She is He-Man lady. Like, literally, she is Adam's sister, number one, He-Man's sister. But number two, it was just like, hey, guys, what if we made He-Man, but we really wanted to appeal to the little girls watching instead of just the little boys? And that's what they made. And it ended up, in a lot of ways, being kind of a better show. Like, it was still cheesy, Filmation, kind of garbage Saturday morning fare, but there was a little bit more to it. And I know a lot of people are super stoked about this. So, of all the odd things to see being resurfaced, I did not expect She-Ra to get this treatment. So,
Tetzer Guy just wrote spoilers in the chat room because you gave away who She-Ra is.
Yeah, She-Ra is literally He-Man. She is in her name. Like, it's She-Ra, and He-Man is He-Man. Not just like He-Man, like I'm a tough guy, but like He-Man, mailman, like male dude. It's so dumb. It's so dumb. Everything about that universe is dumb, but it's so dumb it's good. And even on this show, Current Geek, back in its old iteration, Tom and I sat and watched and did commentary for, what was it? An old He-Man episode, didn't we? Didn't we do that?
Yeah, we did that as a bonus for one of our Kickstarters.
That's right. It was fantastic. And so I'm ready for this. But they can't be too serious. If they take themselves too serious, we're all going to be miserable. Because that's not fun. They need to have some fun with it. It's got to be a little ironic because She-Ra and He-Man are bad. They're bad shows. Thoughts, feelings?
I never watched those or really, like, I think I was the Ghostbusters age with the, but I have, you know, from what I've seen on Netflix, their animated stuff with DreamWorks has been really well received. And I know Voltron has like 4 seasons now and it's doing really well. So the fact that Netflix is not just focusing on churning out really dumbed down animated television for sub 1 year olds, which is what I'm usually watching, because I have kids, I should say.
Sure.
But it's exciting that Netflix is doing more than just original programming. I was kind of worried that Netflix was just going to make more just mature shows, but the fact that they're spreading it around and coming up with this She-Ra stuff, it sounds good. I'm glad people are excited. It's exciting that people are excited.
Yeah. Voltron is good. Yeah. I like that. What do you think, James?
I have never seen He-Man or She-Ra. Way older than I was. Or way older is a bit too.
Yeah, that's mean. Don't do that.
10 years. The original He-Man was, 10 years older than I am? So I've never actually gone back and watched any of it. I mean, I'm all for making new things. If people want to make it, then maybe people want to watch it. And that means more things for me to watch. So yeah, sure. Bring it on.
So you don't know about Two Man, who is a two-headed man?
I absolutely no. I know. Oh, I know really? Who He-Man is. Making who Skeletor up. Is. Yeah. I've never heard of Two Man.
All right. Do you know? You know who Man at Arms is? You ever heard of that guy?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But from like Robot Chicken episodes.
Well, see, that's my whole point. It has to be kind of self-referential and ironic to work now, or maybe they'll blow my mind. But I too am really happy that Netflix isn't just making, you know, House of Cards, rinse and repeat kind of shows, like moving into other areas.
They've got new, fresh ideas, like remaking She-Ra.
Well, you know what I mean. It's not exactly fresh, but they've also got some, well, they're all mostly adult too, but they have a lot of animation on there now. Actually, the channel, the streaming business that seems to be the most in touch with your 2 and 3 year old kids is Amazon Prime. They got a ton of original, super weird, but totally for that age range stuff, and it's actually kind of good, some of that. Not that I sit around and watch it, but, you know.
I will. That sounds great. They added Paw Patrol season 4.
Yeah.
And I was stoked.
Yeah. I could watch Peppa Pig right now. Peppa Pig is the best thing ever. I know that's a British thing. They got imported over here, but I freaking love it. It's so good. And it's not for me. It's for 3-year-olds. I don't know why I'm watching it.
I want to go jump in muddy puddles right now.
Nice.
Nice. Yeah. All right. Robot Chicken animator Dylan Markey apparently uses an NES power glove to help him make the stop motion animation in Robot Chicken. He's modified it to use Bluetooth to remotely control stop motion software. Using the buttons and D-pad, he can take single shots, record multiple stills at once, and cycle between frames from anywhere on set.
I don't even know what to say to that. That's crazy.
Basically, he was like, I need something so that I can control this without having to walk over there. You know what would be great? An old NES power glove.
Yeah.
I mean, but wouldn't you have... All right, James, let's say you're in charge of this, and I came to you and said, okay, all right, look, this is what we've got to make. You'd probably go, all right, well, let me get an Arduino. I'll get some kind of easy to put together sort of chassis for it, something small. I'll do all my own wiring, and bam, it's not pretty, but it works.
Yeah.
Like, that's what we do now, but this guy, maybe that's part of the charm of Robot Chicken, is that he's thinking in ways that are outside the box, but that seems nuts to me.
I wonder how easy it is, because, like, while you're doing stop motion stuff, you have to have you move your arms very specific. I mean, I've never done stop motion, but I assume you have to move things very meticulously. And maybe he's, like, moving his arms and then touching, holding the figures in a certain way and then just reaching over to his arm to tap it. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's something to do with the way he's actually positioning the models.
Sure.
Well, the in the article, they have, like, a documentary that was really well done about what Dylan did and why he did it. And basically what it is he needed a way to set up the scenes and not have to go back to the camera to hit the button. So he just sits there, he positions them, gets out of the way, and he clicks on his little arm and does some cool sci-fi stuff. And then he walks back and he changes the frame up a bit, and then he takes another snap. And really he was discussing the problem where he would have a large set, maybe not Robot Chicken, but, you know, a large set for like a movie or something. And he would have to set up things on one end and on the other and have to run back and forth, and in between all that hit the camera each time. And he's able to control, like, the frames. He can, like, play these shots he's already taken. He can scrub through them. It was honestly fascinating. And the fact that he chose the power glove is so bad.
There's a great paragraph in here. It says, with the help of a friend, Markey is his last name, converted the accessory into a Bluetooth device that allows him to remotely control stop motion software. Using the buttons and D-pad, he can take single shots, record multiple stills at once.
That's what I just read.
It is, but my
word for word, I just read.
But my favorite—did you read the tweezers part? Because that's my favorite part.
Oh, get to the tweezers.
All right. Yeah. He says here at the end, he even added a pair of retractable magnetized tweezers for finer animation. I don't know how that looks, but I want to. So I haven't seen the documentary yet. I'm going to go watch it.
Just goes in there and tweezes little things and makes them move a little bit.
Yeah. So he's able to keep the glove on to control the stop motion stuff, mm-hmm. but then the tweezers come out of the glove.
Yeah.
So that he can do really fine. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, and they snap back like those cool security cards.
Yeah. Yeah. Move over, Pixar. There's a new king in town. Something like that.
Good animation. Yeah. Finally, Bethesda has a video up called Save Player One about the need for single player gaming, and it's hosted by Linda Carter.
It's fantastic.
Why not?
It's wonderful. Have you everyone here seen this? It's
a really
great.
Cool video. Yeah.
It's really great. And it's funny. I think it works even if you never knew she was Wonder Woman or, you know, that she has that past as TV's Wonder Woman. It's fantastic. I love
it. If you think of her as the president of Earth from Supergirl, you'll still enjoy it.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
I think of her as the head teacher from Sky High.
Nice.
Oh, I love Sky High. I love that movie.
Really good.
Yeah, it is good. It's way better than people think. That's a movie that I feel like I shouldn't like, but I totally like that movie. Anyway, it's great. And also, more importantly than that, and I know you guys can jive with this, there has been a sort of industry-wide pull away from single-player experiences and a move toward multiplayer-only, loot-box-ridden sort of grindy sort of, you know, games that aren't about story and character and all that. And I know those are expensive to make, but it is really nice for a leader in that space, Bethesda, to stand up and say, yeah, we're not done with these. That made me very happy.
I don't know if there has been, like, this outcry went since EA shut down Visceral, but I don't know if there has been a shift away from multiplayer games towards multiplayer games. I mean, if you look at like the biggest games of this year, you've got Breath of the Wild, Super Mario Odyssey, Divinity Original Sin. All the like big, huge games that have been well thought of have all been single player.
That's... So you're saying Bethesda feels guilty?
I think Bethesda like are definitely like the biggest people out there and are saying, hey, these things are cool. But I think it's I think it's a little bit like
Bethesda does protest too much, is what you're
saying.
Yeah. See, I disagree. I think that they are it's money on the table. This is what we're talking about. Bethesda doesn't have a League of Legends and doesn't have an Overwatch, doesn't have a Hearthstone, doesn't have these games that make money hand over fist. Stockholders love this because they're like, ooh, our shares are up. Why? Well, because these games just continue to have a revenue model well past their $50 entry fee. And Bethesda is, this feels like them maybe protesting too much, but maybe just coming out ahead of it and saying, well, we're not ready to sign our souls over to games as services quite yet. We still think there's value in these single player sort of things. So I don't know what the numbers are, but if we looked at Breath of the Wild and we look at Mario, we know that the total amount of consoles sold so far is about 10 or 11 million. They're on track to do really well with the Switch, but that's your limit. League of Legends has 100 million players and a pretty big percentage of them spending money. So I think this is purely a money question and not a, you know, we're not to the point where there are no good single player games. They just want to get out ahead of this and say, well, we're going to be one of those that keeps doing that from a AAA studio, AAA publisher.
Okay, yeah, I can agree with that for sure. Yeah.
So I think you look at the announcements happening these days, and there's always that layer, whether it's a multiplayer mode or it's multiplayer only. And sometimes a single player game that was primarily a campaign now has that layer of, say, microtransactions or loot boxes. Like if you look at Shadow of War and compare it to Shadow of Mordor, it has that layer of not being solely a single player game. And with Bethesda, outside of some of the, you know, creators content and the whole mod scenarios that they've been putting forth, but they are pretty much straight up single player campaigns. The only thing I would say against Bethesda is that their games are way too long for me. Like 80 hour plus RPGs. I think if we want to save single player, we got to look across the board and create content for all ranges of hours. Like it just doesn't have to be a 100-hour RPG for it to be the best single player game.
They are publishing things like Wolfenstein and Prey and Dishonored, Death Outsider.
Oh yeah. Dishonored is definitely one of those games you can look at and go, well, I can beat this in 10 hours or whatever it is.
Yeah,
there's a lot to do outside of that, but you're right. Skyrim, I put like 300 hours in or some stupid number. Those perhaps, I think there'll always be a place for those because there's always going to be an audience for those. The question is, you know, is that audience still around? What generation are we on now? What are they used to playing? Like, I can tell you right now, all my kids, my three kids, all they want to do is play Overwatch. That's their thing now. And that is a get in, fight other people, get out, zero narrative kind of experience.
Yeah.
And
well, and that's part of the thing. It's not that there aren't single player games. It's that the high profile games that you see in the headlines are not single player games.
Right.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. I mean, I work for a games publisher, and one of the things that we constantly have to deal with is people asking like, hey, will this be a games as a service thing? Will this be something, this have microtransactions? It's always like this kind of scary thing, because like, if you go one way, then the audience is going to crucify. If you go the other way, then maybe you wouldn't make enough money. And you know, it's this kind of,
It's in a weird place, all that stuff right now, but I do know this: video games, they're great.
They are.
I'll tell you what else is great. They are fun to play. I'll tell you what else is great, though: our listenership, and many of them contribute some of these stories. And Tom, they did it again this week. Who do we have to thank for many of our stories today?
Now, I don't know if it was just because they assumed we'd talk about it, but nobody submitted a Last Jedi story.
Weird.
I just thought that was interesting. We talked about it anyway because it's huge. But everything else in the lineup today was submitted on our subreddit at currentgeek.reddit.com. So thanks to Kytus, I Am Sci-Fi, Tech Explorer, and Loopgaru for your submissions. And thanks to everybody who submitted stories and voted on them at currentgeek.reddit.com.
I completely agree. We like to take a minute in the middle of the show to let our guests talk about cool stuff they're working on right now. Kind of a mini little interview, not really a, you know, not kind of a, hey, you're out of here, tell us your Twitter account kind of thing. So we're going to do that now. Ryan, what kind of stuff are you working on? Tell us about your podcast or anything else you want to tell people about that you're working on.
Yeah. So just published Zombies Ate My Podcast, new episode. We talked about the mid-season finale. I'm sure a lot of folks have heard the big news. I'm not going to spoil it here because it's a major spoiler. We spent about an hour discussing that moment and what it means for the show and all that fun stuff. So if you're a fan of The Walking Dead, make sure you're caught up and then listen to that. ZombiesAteMyPodcast.com. And then Gamers In, we are doing episode 300 next week.
Whoa.
Which seems like kind of snuck up on us. So we're not doing anything special besides talking about Game of the Year, which is honestly pretty special. We talk about the single player games and stuff and that campaign, but 2017 was a big year for video games. Yeah. So it's going to be tough to choose sort of the top 10. So we're going with sort of top 10 experiences that we've enjoyed this year for episode 300, but we're also asking people to send in their choices with some reasoning, either via Twitter or email. You can get more of those details at gamersinpodcast.com.
Very nice. It's a good show. People should check it out. And congratulations on 300 episodes.
Yeah, that's awesome, man.
James, what are you up to these days?
Well, so I work for, like I said earlier, I work for a games publisher. And about a week ago, we launched my second game working for the company, or expansion pack, which was really, really super cool. Mm. I'm working for the publisher for about 7 months now. Mm-hmm. And super rewarding to get to like finally be like, this is something that I made and worked on.
That's great.
Put it out into the world. Yeah.
Oh, I know who you. I'm such an idiot. I now know who Focus Home Interactive is. I played Styx, Master of Shadows. That's you guys.
Yes. Yeah, they came out in May, April.
Yeah, April. Yeah. The new version of that, because I guess the original was like 2014 or something. Oh, Shards of Darkness. That was the original, or the new one.
Yeah,
but you guys are like Farming Simulator 17.
Yeah, Farming Simulator. Yep, 17.
Blood Bowl. Oh, that's great. That's great.
Things like Space Hulk Deathwing, which is a Warhammer game. You may have heard of Vampire.
Yeah,
Out in next year sometime. Yeah, no, it's really cool. The game that came out, the expansion pack which came out called The Surge, is actually in a Netflix. Is in a Netflix episode, which is super duper cool.
Oh wow!
I don't know if you've seen the show. It's called The Dark.
No.
And episode 5, it's just like they're showing someone playing a game, and it's one of our games. And
nice.
That's so cool.
Really, really cool.
Yeah, Cities XL, all those games. Oh, yeah. Dude, you're my best friend all of a sudden. My gosh. I love everything they put out. That's super cool. And so the new game you guys just put out this week is called what again?
It's an expansion pack for The Surge, which is like a more story-driven, Dark Souls-y kind of game.
Mm.
Is it single-player?
It is single player. Yeah.
There you go. Kicking the trend.
Softball for you there.
Yeah.
Well done, Tom. Well, that's great. People should go check them out. You can see all of their titles if you just search for Focused Home Interactive. Focus Home, rather. And that's awesome. Here, we take a moment to discuss our friends at B&H Photo. B&H Photo, professionals use them all the time for photos and, not photos, but for equipment to take photos. You know, cameras, lenses, mounts, all that kind of stuff, flashes, video, audio equipment, so much more. Whether you're shopping for gifts or getting something for yourself, it's a smart way to shop. Low prices, top-notch customer service, fast shipping, and no sales tax in 48 states. And we like them so much that they're working with us to make something rad. If you go over to bhphoto.com/frogpants, you'll find a selection of items that we think are pretty cool. Over the years, I have bought all kinds of things from them. Microphones, spider mounts for my microphones, mixers, all that sort of stuff. So if you're an audiophile, you're doing podcasting or whatever, great place to go for that. If you're a budding photographer, also the perfect place to go. If you're a professional in any of those areas, also a great place to go. We're excited to be working with them. And I want you guys to check them out. Drones, thousands of products, computers, TVs, all that kind of stuff. And before this month is out, you're going to hurry up and get some gifts, right? Spend the money before the year's over so you can get some of those tax benefits, especially if you're running a small business. And they have returns, by the way, up until February 1st, 2018, to return any or exchange any items that you got during the holiday season. Standard return conditions apply, of course. And, hurry up and do it. Tax-exempt status, don't forget that. So, here's the deal. We've worked with B&H Photo to bring you that page I mentioned. Handpicked these items, bhphoto.com/frogpants. check out those recommendations. You're going to love it. That's bhphoto.com/frogpants for all your purchases, and we thank them for sponsoring the show. For real, you guys. Get over there. Well, let's do this other thing that we do every week, and that is the pop quiz.
America scores and wins.
All right. Oh, where's the music? There it is. All right, we're going to talk to you guys about areas of your expertise, and we're going to have you compete. Well, not really compete, but answer a bunch of questions. When you get answers right, you're going to hear this sound. When you get it wrong, you'll hear this. We didn't choose these topics and or questions, so if you hate these, just let me know, and I'll let the guys who did know.
Perfect.
We'll throw them under the bus.
Exactly.
Don't worry.
No worries at all.
We picked the topics, didn't we?
Yeah, well, I don't know. You might have. I don't know how he gets these, but I'll tell you what, James, you're going to be our first goer here.
Okay.
And and I should mention Tom is going to keep score of this whole thing. Sometimes you get weird points for no weird reasons. He explained.
Yeah, it's always for a reason, Scott.
It's always for a reason, right? He's got a rule book and all that. That's what he tells us anyway. I'm going to believe him. James, you're starting. Your area is Commodore 64 trivia.
Oh nice. No. Okay.
I think he said, wow. He said to us, he goes, he wants video game trivia, so I'm giving him Commodore 64. And I thought, oh,
what?
That's mean.
So it's not peek and poke. Okay. I
no,
it.
Definitely not.
Okay.
All right. So here's your first question. What
I don't
year?
Think I've ever seen Commodore 64.
Really?
I haven't either. So
I had one, but well, I was very young. Okay. Yeah, I was very young. Anyway, here's your first question. What year was the Commodore 64 introduced?
So.
And I'll give you a hint. I'll give you a hint. It was after the birth of Christ.
Okay. I was going to say like 1982.
Oh, my Lord. Nailed it.
Is that right?
Yep, you got it. Well done.
Okay, cool.
Jeez, off to the races here. You're doing all right so far.
Nicely done.
Next up, what was the first game released for the Commodore 64?
Oh, gosh. I've got no idea. I was going to say Pitfall, but that was an Atari game?
You are right. You're totally right about that. But the answer is Jupiter Lander.
Okay.
Jupiter.
Half point for knowing an Atari game.
Yeah, well done.
Cool.
Well done.
Well, it's the Nolan Bushnell bonus.
There you go. I ever tell you the time I saw him eating a sandwich at a Subway here in Salt Lake?
No, I don't think you did.
Yeah, it was weird. I didn't say anything or go talk to him or anything.
You didn't yell, Pog!
He went to school here and lived here for a long time, and I don't know what he was doing here, but he was eating a Subway all by himself, which I thought was weird. Anyway, next question. What company is distributing the C64 Mini? So somebody is making a Commodore 64 Mini. Who's making that?
I actually did know this. It was... I want to say it was Atari again, but it's not. No, I don't know.
Well, it's true that you don't know, but it is. I almost said the wrong word. Coke Media, but it's spelled with a K. COCH.
Yes. That's how I know it, because we work with them.
Yeah, they do stuff like what you're talking about. They do like Atari.
You get a full point for admitting you don't know it, but then you lose a quarter point for having worked with them and not remembering it.
Yeah.
It's all right. No one will hold that against you at work. It'll be fine. Second to last question. What was the original price of the Commodore 64? This surprised me. I'll say that.
It surprised you because it was high or surprised you because it was low?
Let's just say it surprised me. One of those two. One of those two things you just said.
It surprised him because of one of those things.
Yeah.
Okay. $200?
Let's find out if that is correct. Is it $200? $595.
Wow. Okay.
Seems higher than
I'm going to give you a half point for quoting the price of the TI-99/4A.
Oh, well done.
Okay.
final question. What year was the Commodore 64 discontinued?
So 1987.
Let's find out if that is correct. Was it the year of Adventures in Babysitting? Incorrect. The answer is 1994.
1994. 64, 94.
Oh, look at that.
Six upside down.
Yeah. Well, there you go. I think you actually did pretty well, considering the nature of your questions.
I mean, considering the Commodore 64.
You asked for video games and got something you knew nothing about. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
I mean, the Commodore 64, so it was 82. That's 12 years before I was born.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I did okay.
Yeah, you did all right. Wait, how old are you now?
I'm 23.
23.
It's impolite to ask anyone their age.
Were you born in 94?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, you're my daughter's age. That's
you
weird.
You were born the year the Commodore 64. There's a connection.
Weird. Weird.
You killed it.
Yeah.
Commodore 64 reincarnated.
That's right.
That's why you picked that as your topic.
That's pretty good. I would not want to come back as a deprecated computer. But anyway, here we go. Ryan Murphy, your turn. Sure. Your category, sir, is Skyrim trivia. Skyrim.
Oh, okay.
So speaking of really long video games Bethesda makes, that's your category.
I assume Ryan has played Skyrim.
I have.
Yeah, see, this is a good topic.
Yeah.
So this is perfect.
All right, well, let's see how your memory works. What is the name of the first town you are sent to after escaping Helgen?
I actually knew this.
That was like 300 hours ago. North Borgen. I don't know.
North Borgen. Incorrect, but I love that name. It's Riverwood is the actual answer.
Oh. But full point, because Riverwood is often pronounced North Borgen.
North Borgen. I love that. All right. There are a lot of town names like Bergen and Horgen and stuff in there.
Yeah.
Next question. What is the name of the mead? What is the name of the mead? Oh, the meadiary you need to sabotage in the Dampened Spirits quest. You know, out of the 300 hours you play.
Yeah. You know that quest. Everybody
sure,
knows that
everyone
quest.
Remembers that one
dampen
quest.
Dampen the spirits?
It says of the meadiary, or the meadiary. The meadiary?
Yeah. What's the NPC that you talked to in the quest?
The Butcher?
Thing.
Is that the name? Is that your
I
name?
Don't know. He's just called the Butcher. I actually don't know.
All right. Incorrect. It is Honningbrew Meadery. Is the place, I guess. That's the name of the meadery.
Oh, the meadery.
Well, it's where they make meadery? Mead. So it's mead, M-E-A-D, and then E-R-Y. Yeah.
I'm going to give you a half point for that being confusing, because it sounded like he was asking for a person's name.
That's what I thought.
I kind of agree. But also, I thought when you said butcher, I thought you thought I maybe said meat-eary, like meat.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too.
That was easier than saying I don't know twice in a row.
Yeah,
so.
That's all sure. good. Yeah. All right, next up, how about this one? The Golden Claw quest takes you... Oh, I love that. This one I remember. The Golden Claw quest takes you to which dungeon in the game? I can't believe I know this. I knew this
before. I don't remember Skyrim very well. the Golden Claw.
Yeah.
It's a perfect topic for you.
You can make it
up. I know.
Up.
What? The Golden Claw. The Dwarven Caves.
No. No, but nice try. It's Blood Falls Barrow. Or Barrow. Borrow. Barrow.
It's one of the first quests you do.
Yeah,
I think.
And it's great.
Yeah,
that's a great quest line. I love it. Second to last question: who is the final boss in the main quest of Skyrim?
Final boss in the main quest. I don't know his name.
Gamorrot.
It's a talking dragon.
All right. Do you give up?
No, that's what it is.
Oh, you're gonna say a talking dragon. Incorrect. It is Alduin, but he might be a talking dragon. I don't remember.
Is Alduin a talking dragon? I don't know the answer to this.
I don't remember. Yes. Hold on. Is he?
There is a talking dragon in it, right? That's a bad guy.
Yeah, I'll give you a half point if Alduin's actually a talking dragon.
Hold on. Let me find it. Oh, it is. He's a speaking sentient dragon.
All right.
Yep.
Half point.
All right.
Perfect.
I don't remember that. Okay. Final question.
At the beginning and yells at you.
I may have spent 300 hours and never done the final quest. Is maybe what
happened. Maybe James was supposed to get this one.
Yeah. No, it says it says Ryan Murphy on there. All right. Final question. How many dragon shouts are there for the player to find and use in the game?
There's only one, isn't it? Like Fastu Ra. That's the only one I use. So, but there's probably like 20.
Oh,
I'd say 20.
You're so close. 27 is the actual answer. Oh. Very close,
27.
Though.
Hold on a minute. I'm going to have to do a little math here.
But there's Ryan, while he's doing the math, I agree with you. The best one was your first one, and it's the only one I cared about the whole time was that one.
You get 0.74 because 20 is 0.74 of 27.
Jeez. Look
That's
at
good.
You, professor over there. Fantastic. Your questions are complete. Now it's time for Tom to add it up and see who did well and who didn't.
Man, it was close. This was the tightest race we've had in a long time. The final score was James 2.75, Ryan 2.74.
Oh, my.
Ooh, wow.
You guys, that's
that
closest.
Math just didn't break your way, Ryan. I'm so sorry.
Should get 21.
The closest we've ever gotten. I'm super impressed with both of you. Well done. All right, let's dive into this.
The future promises even more startling things to come.
It's Forecast. Used to be a show. Now it's a segment. We predict the future, pop culture, technology, whatever's on our mind. That's what we do. And as often is the case, Tom has a great prediction about the future. Tom, what is it?
Well, taking some of the news of the day into account, I came up with the following prognostication. In 2073, the year 2073, I will be dead. Disney will cross over a Marvel property into the Star Wars universe in a film.
Whoa. I thought you were going to say, I thought your prediction was I will be dead and that was it, but you went on.
And that was my prediction. Yeah.
I was going to agree with
you. I guess
your
you get two for one here.
Sure. Okay. So let's just imagine what you're talking about. Wolverine in the Millennium Falcon kind of deal, right? Like some sort of crossover like that. Do you think we'll ever get to a place where that's acceptable? It seems nuts right
yeah,
now.
Part of where I'm going with this is they're going to keep diving into the back catalog, right?
Yeah. Hmm.
So, I mean, you could imagine it with Guardians of the Galaxy, but I don't think it'll be Guardians of the Galaxy. There will be a hero that is a distant space traveler who will travel to another galaxy and will make sense that they're doing movies with this person exploring. And the Rian Johnson trilogy will have by then spawned all kinds of totally non-Skywalker oriented Star Wars stories that will be in a place where it'll just make sense to cross them over.
Okay. I'm down with this. Go ahead.
Didn't Marvel used to do a Star Wars comic like way, way back when?
Marvel still does Star Wars.
They do
one.
Yeah.
Like Marvel did them. Then Dark Horse had them. And then when Disney bought Lucasfilm, they gave them back to Marvel.
Yep.
Yeah. So technically, aren't Marvel properties already in the Star Wars universe?
No, I said in a film.
A film. Right. Well, yeah, okay. Okay. So this is more, you know what this reminds me of? There's a Star Trek Next Generation crossover with Doctor Who that a lot of people sort of dig on. There may be even more stuff like that I know of, and I can't think of any right now, but that one was sticks out in my mind as a really weird crossover. Like, you wouldn't expect to see that on TV or in film, but comic books used to be the only place you'd see anything like this, including just straight up comic books. So why not? In fact, I'm gonna adjust your prediction and say it's sooner than 2073. I'll bet we get that even sooner than that.
And again, I'm saying Marvel Cinematic Universe probably. Mm.
Okay.
Yeah. We could still be alive. We may have big health advancements by then. Let's think about that for a second. 73. My son will be 73 years old because he was born.
I'll be 103.
Yeah, you'll make it. You're fine.
And for a week in June, we'll both be 103. And we'll go and see this movie together.
Yeah.
That's when it'll come out in June.
You two children will still be in your 60s or something.
Yeah, we'll still be chickens. Kicking.
You could wheel our wheelchairs to the movie theater for us.
Yeah, we'll meet you halfway. What's the halfway point between Paris, Toronto?
We'll take our hyperloops there.
Yeah,
underwater. There'll be tunnels to everything.
Yeah, underwater, under ocean hyperloops. I'm very excited about those.
Someone clip this out and save it and put a calendar reminder in 2073 to let us know about it.
Tweet me in 60 years.
Yeah, Twitter will still be around. That'll be funny.
Oh, I guess not. Whatever we're using at that
whatever
point.
Whatever it is. Maybe they will be. I don't know. Who knows?
AR face or whatever it is.
Yeah. AR face. AR face. Tom, write that one down.
This conversation is going to sound so quaint.
It really is. Got a quick email here before we go today. We like to get your emails at currentgeek@gmail.com. And we got one from Chris who says, "It worries me as the world goes digital, there's less and less ability to validate our own history. Since we put pen to paper, we've been able to record history, and although these recordings may be opinionated or wrong, they exist. These physical objects could be used as a reference and couldn't be altered." I don't know, man. There's a lot of stuff done to certain famous books like, I don't know, the Bible. A bunch of crap got taken out of there by a bunch of monks who were ordered to do such a thing. I'm not so sure those things were untouchable, but let's go with his hypothesis here. It says, "Now in our digital age, a change can be propagated without you even knowing it. For example, I know you're the mayor, or I know who the mayor of my town is, but as we move a few hundred years into the future, what would it take for her to be edited out of our written past? It might be as simple as a few database entries, and she'd be erased from history. My concern probably wouldn't take place over a single lifetime, but in a few hundred years, it may be very easy to change the distant past. It may be very easy to change the distant past, but I wanted to suggest you could talk about this idea of blockchain for history." Interesting idea, Tom.
Chris is on to something. It'd be easy to take pot shots at the way he explained it, And that's no fault of Chris. You can say like, oh, well, the Soviets used to wipe people out of history all the time. And like you said, you know, you can go back and change what things said. You can edit old things. I don't think focusing on the changeability is the issue here. I think it's the fact that we don't check. In a digital age, we're so used to convenience that we're not going to dig into it. We're not going to investigate. And it would be easy to do it. It's not that you couldn't do it before. It's that, oh, well, you know, it's easy enough to take something out of here. And the blockchain is where I come to full like, okay, Chris knows what he's talking about here, because he's saying what we need is a way to keep digital records from being so easily edited, right? It's not that you can't edit physical objects. It's that it's just easier to edit digital objects. So let's make it hard. And that's what blockchain and cryptocurrencies do. That's a really interesting thought.
Yeah.
Isn't that like the whole principle behind like how Wikipedia handles editing, is that everything has to be peer reviewed and peer checked?
And they keep versions of everything. Yeah. So no matter what you change, you can always tell who changed it and everything. Yeah.
And okay. The blockchain as a technology would go even further. Like that's a step further down that road of saying, you know, we have pretty good ways in place, even at Wikipedia is the example to keep track of this stuff. But blockchain.
There's actually one of the co-founders of Wikipedia, not Jimmy, is creating a blockchain-based encyclopedia.
Oh, that's so cool.
Oh, cool.
All right. Yeah. Well, we're almost dead. Look, the world of tomorrow today.
Yeah.
We did it.
That's what we got. Awesome. Great email, Chris. We appreciate it. You can send your emails to us at currentgeek@gmail.com. And that is going to do it for this fine podcast. Before we go, though, chance for our guests to give us links and things so they can be found on the internet. Let's start with Ryan. Ryan, where can people find you?
Sure. I tweet at R. Murphy, half video games, half cute kids, and Star Wars on Sunday. But also the Gamers Inn, gamersinpodcast.com, weekly video game show I do with Jocelyn Moffitt of The Angry Chicken, and Zombies Ate My Podcast at zombiesatemypodcast.com, where we talk about The Walking Dead and other zombie-related things.
Cool. I should point out, Ryan was saying half of his tweets are cute children, not that his children are only half cute.
Oh, well, I mean, yes. No, they're full cute.
Yeah, they're full cute. 100%. I would agree. He's a good dad, too. And he has one of the drier senses of humor on the internet. And I like that a lot. I'm a huge fan of that. So if you'd like that and you find that kind of thing funny, Ryan is a guy to listen to. So go check him out. James Bartholomew, tell people where they can find you, sir.
You find me on Twitter at Iagovus, spelt IYAGOVOS, and the same on Twitch and YouTube, and that's pretty much where I hang out.
Yeah,
I talk about also video games and Star Wars, really.
That's how I think of you, as Iagovus.
If you see Iagovus around, chances are he is milling around in various parts of the Frog Pants community, and he has been an awesome asset in there, so huge thanks, man, for all you do in there.
No problem at all. I enjoy it.
It's been good. Tom Merritt, anything you'd like to add before we go, sir?
Pavaria, the print copy from lulu.com, lulu.com, is on sale until December 18th at 11:59 p.m. Get 15% off. You use the promo code LULU15 when you check it out. You got to go to lulu.com, search Pavaria, and put in that code LULU15 before December 18th.
I forgot to tell you, I saw Pilot X at a bookstore over the weekend last weekend.
Was anyone buying it?
It was a Barnes and Noble. No, but there's only one left, so that seemed good. And it was weirdly wedged between, I don't know, somebody hadn't cleared up the shelves, but it was wedged between a like Marvel Wolverine retrospective and some kind of anime book. It was in the wrong place.
So somebody had been reading it and then stuck it somewhere.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So I don't know what that means or what you can glean from that data, but there it is for you. Anyway, yes, go check that out. In the meantime, lots of things happening in and around the Frog Pants Network, so go to frogpants.com if you'd like to learn more. We have a website too, currentgeek.com, and you'll find all our details there. Email address, Twitter accounts, all that stuff. Ace to Tech, Scott Johnson, and Current Geek on Twitter. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Tom, and for our guests. We'll see you next time.